ASU ended their regular conference schedule on a high note with a win during rivalry week, and it is currently waiting for their bowl game. Sun Devils are favorites to land a certain Oklahoma quarterback, and Herm Edwards will continue to be the head coach at ASU. So we're talking all of that and more on today's episode of Locked On Pac-12 Podcast.
Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Locked On Pac-12 Podcast. As always, we're free and available as a part of the Locked On Network. I'm your host, Cindy Robinson, and joining me today is Connor Drios from Locked On Sun Devils to talk everything ASU football. We're winding down. The season is over. Now we're going into bowl time, which is great because ASU is actually participating in a bowl game this season. We're not aware of which bowl game that is yet. So first and foremost, Connor, let's talk rivalry week. I feel like every time I say that, it's a tongue twister. Rivalry week.
Well, here in Arizona, we just call it hate week. Big okay. A for Arizona. So, but the thing about a rivalry is like, it has to be competitive, right?
Oh.
And for five straight years, the Sun Devils have kept the Territorial Cup in its own room. They might as well just stay there because I don't see U of A taking it for the foreseeable future.
Okay, this is a different tune than what Richie was giving us last week when there was a little slight concern that this could be a upset that no one saw coming. We all know how rivalries can go. And yes, it does require them to be a little competitive, but I fully expected Arizona to come with a little more vengeance considering how things ended up last season.
You're totally right with rivalry games, like, and for ASU and U of A especially, where they haven't been playing for a ton as of late, like, who doesn't want to play spoiler, or who doesn't want to get that last great win at the end of the season? So, and that's exactly what U of A was trying to do. The thing about this game, and we had even talked about this on our podcast for Locked On Sun Devils for about a week or two, U of A honestly has been playing people very, very tough for the last like month or so. Regardless of their competition, some of their schools that they played were definitely better than others. But they've been playing people extremely tough. So it was like there was a 20-point spread coming into that game. I personally was taking U of A to cover that spread. Like 20 points, especially for this ASU team, ASU does not cover. The good teams, right? Like I think ASU is a good team. They're not a great team just because they don't cover their spreads. So I was expecting a very competitive game, and that's exactly how it started, right? Their quarterback, whose name is escaping me, but Will Plummer, he drove down the field several times. Their first drive, I think, was like maybe 4, 5, 6 plays before they ended up settling for that field goal or something like that. Might have been a couple more, but regardless, they were picking up chunk play after chunk play, and it was like, this isn't how this game was supposed to go. ASU is supposed to be dominating them with this great defense that they have. U of A has one win on the season. Like, what the heck is going on? Could it be the rivalry game that we were talking about where it's just, it doesn't matter what you did the rest of the season, like throw it all out. Records don't matter. ASU finally did settle down. Even after the first two drives, Richie and I were just texting back and forth. Like, I am so glad they just held into a field goal there. And I didn't expect to be saying that at all. Will Plummer, I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head. I think in his games this season, he started like 9 games. He was averaging like 160 passing yards. He passed for 346 through the air.
He was coming as a man on a mission, okay?
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Arizona that we've, like you mentioned, they've been playing against opponents really well. The one thing they can't do really well is close out a game. It's okay. We're dog friendly over here. We say hi to the pup. but yeah, they haven't been closing out games well. And for whatever reason, you'll see a game start with them and they'll be competitive and it'll look like, okay, this is going to be a little more difficult than we expected. And that second half, it always seems to go downhill for them, which I don't want to say I anticipated with this game. I'm not going to lie to you. Part of me was hoping for the underdog story of an upset here.
How dare you side with Michael Luke while you're talking to me. Like, at least, like, just keep that to yourself. Here, I was thinking you were on my side. I feel so betrayed.
So I told Richie and Michael Luke last week that I was not siding with anybody initially. But the deep, like, me as a person who comes from a school of underdog situations.
Oh, okay.
No, not hate ASU, just the underdog situation. I understand what it's like to be in those shoes. And so I always love a good, you know, redemption story. And that's what I was hoping with this. But I will say it's good for ASU to end on a high note after a few rough weeks playing. And even though winning some of those games, they weren't the prettiest wins. So this was probably one of those confidence boosters they needed before going into bowl game territory.
Definitely. And they didn't have several starters, and I think one of the rotational players out. Like, they didn't have Darian Butler. They didn't have Merlin Robertson. I think Evan Fields, and then Markham, I think, was the other DB that was out. So regards to that, like, understanding that some of your better defensive players were out, seeing how U of A was able to move the football was definitely concerning to start that game off. I think you're right. It does give a little boost of confidence to ASU fans. Granted, it was a team you should have beaten by about the points you should have beat them by. Yeah. I think what's really going to matter is that bowl game, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, in the next week or two.
Yeah.
You're going to play a school that's much tougher than U of A. And there's a lot of question marks surrounding this team. So, yes, we played great against U of A. That's phenomenal. It's a positive way to end the season. But for Herm Edwards and not a lot of recruits coming in next season, there's so much we don't know about the 2022 mm-hmm. Sun Devils. So ideally, they go out and play a great bowl game. There's going to be a lot of players, I think, preparing potentially for the NFL draft. Not that ASU has like 10 players that are going to get drafted, but I think there's like 4, 5, 6 that might be able to go, or at least be a camp body. So if you don't have some of those guys, like, I don't want to go play like a Wake Forest or something like that, or maybe even somebody who's ranked as well. And just get absolutely throttled like the last game of the season. So
Right. All right. Well, coming up next, we'll discuss who could possibly be your next starting quarterback in this next season, if you're lucky. For all you college football fanatics, if you haven't heard of Prize Picks, this is the time to listen up. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. They're the leader in college sports daily fantasy. They offer more college football props than anyone in the world. And they offer all the star players of the Power 5, as well as mid-major players that you might have never even heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. All of the users that deposit and use the promo code will receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Just be sure to use the promo code LOCKEDON. You pick 2 to 5 players in an over and under on their projections, and then you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries, so you can take the over on LeBron, combine it with the under on Mahomes, all in the same entry. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's literally that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals, so don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, or go to your App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Shout out to you, listener, for making this your first listen of the day. Locked On Pac-12 Podcast is available and free on all platforms. Okay, Connor. So prior to us starting this show, you informed me of something that I wasn't quite aware of. For all of you that do not know, Lincoln Riley is the new head coach at USC. He left Oklahoma, which has prompted a lot of those student athletes to look elsewhere about schools they can play at, I'm sure. So now quarterback situation at ASU has been a little murky with Jaden Daniels. We've talked about that for the last few weeks. He may not be the favorite of a lot of Sun Devil fans, and the future may not be as bright for him. So, Connor, please inform us on who could possibly be your next quarterback.
First of all, the marketing for this guy, if he does come here, is going to be through the roof in the desert. But it is former Oklahoma quarterback Spencer Rattler playing potentially for the Arizona State Sun Devils. So here's what's interesting. Going into this season, is Rattler was easily in the conversation for the number one overall pick, or at least the best quarterback in this draft class. Mm-hmm. Ended up getting benched at some point this season for Caleb Williams. Like, his stock has taken a huge hit.
Right.
ASU, apparently, from some of my sources that I'm seeing out in social media, he is now ASU is the favorite to land Spencer Rattler as their quarterback, which is interesting to me. It's not that I don't want to see him here. I think he's a definite upgrade over Jaden Daniels.
Right.
But I'd potentially prefer to go to like an Ole Miss where I can go play with Mike Leach, you know?
Okay. So my thoughts too, I definitely expected a more, I wouldn't even say a like top tier team, but more flashier team, right? That's
sure.
considered on a national scale automatically, already in those talks. What do you think the attraction to ASU would be for him?
I think so. He's from here. He played high school ball here. I think that's probably his biggest attraction. Because if I'm speaking honestly, like looking at this ASU team, kind of the state of it, there's not like this great receiving core to come throw to. It's not that I don't like Herm Edwards. I think he's a phenomenal personality. He knows a ton about football more than I could ever forget. It's not even so much that I think the coaching staff's bad, but with the suspension or potentially the violations that we have going against the football team right now, coming against the school here pretty soon. A lot of people leaving this team because they're seniors, they're entering the transfer portal elsewhere, like a Chip Traynham. I'm not sure what else it would potentially draw him here. So, but then we also get into another discussion. Jaden Daniels, again, if he had a great season, could have potentially entered the NFL draft. I thought at the beginning of the year, he'd be like a third, fourth round pick, maybe a potential upside arm in the NFL. It's not going to be it. He's not even a camp arm in my personal opinion. So now he's got to come back for his senior season with Spencer Rattler. If he does come here, I think he has to sit out a year. I don't honestly know everything about the transfer rules. There's some situations like a Joe Burrow or a Justin Fields. When they transferred, they had, well, I should take that back. Justin Fields got to go and play directly from Georgia. Joe Burrow had to sit out a year. So if Spencer Rattler comes here and has to sit for a year, that might actually work out potentially in ASU's benefit. I think if he has to sit, Jaden Daniels plays the senior season, potentially moves on to the NFL as a best case scenario, but worst case, he just graduates and you don't have this some like a quarterback controversy to speak of. But you'd also probably be implementing a totally new offensive system, right? You talked about potentially being at a flashier school, which for Spencer Rattler's upside, like it's not ASU. As of right now, it's just not. They have a very young wide receiving core, but not a lot of great names or potential great talent to throw to. So they have to move away from that run-first offense with losing guys like Rashad White and Chip Traynham. So over the next year or two, that might give them some time to transition to that new style of offense that they would be able to put out in the field for Spencer Rattler.
I wonder if that's going to make the most sense. I'm not 100% sure on the transfer rules either. I feel like they change a lot and they're circumstantial for whatever. I know a lot of it varies about switching conferences and things like that. It's very clear that like the incentive for him would be to come home, and that, you know, we see that often, like people are taking advantage of the fact that they can play in front of their family, which a lot of people don't get the opportunity to do. If he doesn't have to sit out, it's definitely an unfortunate situation for Jaden Daniels because I'll ask you this. Do you think that Jaden will take the challenge of coming into camp and fighting for the position? Do you think he'll get the opportunity to fight for it, or will Spencer Rattler just be automatically named starter?
I don't think it's an automatic thing, but if I'm Jaden, I don't think I want to go through that. I think if they're willing to accept a guy like Spencer Rattler on this team, to me, that sends kind of a message that they really don't want me that badly here. Mm-hmm. And I love Jaden Daniels, the person. Like hearing him speak, seeing the way that he plays the game, I really do like Jaden Daniels, the person as well as the player. But what he does sometimes on the field, it's not the most exciting. So Spencer Rattler is far from perfect. As of right now, he's a little bit more of a name than he is just total talent. So if he does come here, don't get me wrong, it should get Sun Devil fans excited. But at the same time, like expectations should be set that this guy got benched. Like you're not getting the potential number one overall pick we thought going into the 2021 season. So if he comes here, that's great. But Jaden Daniels personally, I think would be headed elsewhere. I don't think he'd be able to come out on the other side, like winning this quarterback competition starting for the Sun Devils next season if he doesn't have to sit out.
Yeah, we've talked about like shifts of having high profile coaches coming into the conference and what that does, you know, putting the conference in the talks of being on a national level and getting those recruits. What do you think seeing a quarterback like Spencer Rattler coming to the Pac-12 conference will do for the conference, for other future recruits, seeing that, you know, he's willing to come play in the Pac-12 conference. Maybe there is something there for us, having players like Kayvon Thibodeau here. Like, what do you think that does for our conference, if anything at all?
So as of right now, ASU specifically, I'm not sure it does a whole lot as at the moment. Lincoln Riley, however, for USC, I think that does a tremendous amount. I'm blanking on the name, but I remember seeing that one of the quarterback prospects that was supposed to go to Oklahoma and play for Lincoln this season already decommitted and now is heading to USC. Right. I think Keaton Slovis is a senior, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because that's why they were – I'm pretty sure he's a senior too, but there's so many, you know, the extra year rules and stuff. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that this is his senior year and he's out after.
I know he's at least draft eligible, and they do have Jackson Dart, who is a freshman. So to me, they're going to have a little bit more of a quarterback competition going into this season, but I think there's going to be a ton of people that want to go play at USC alone. It's a great school, prestigious school. You get to play essentially on the coast in California, great weather. Who doesn't want that? But now you also have Lincoln Riley as your head coach. I think that does give a bit of a boost for the Pac-12 conference, just not the other schools individually, because they're probably going to be hurting for a little while, having a guy like Lincoln Riley be able to recruit potentially as well as he has. Another topic for another time, but I just want to close this out quickly by saying there is a narrative out there that's saying Lincoln Riley may not be the best program builder, but maybe he's just a great coach. Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, and Jalen Hurts all transfers. But a guy like Spencer Rattler, who was his first quarterback, didn't necessarily live up to the hype. So I think that makes people feel a little bit more warm and fuzzy at the end of the day, because who doesn't want Lincoln Riley as their head coach right now?
Right.
But food for thought.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was very skeptical, and I still am. I think we'll have to see how things play out before you, make any – vast conclusions about the results, right? You can't just say like, oh yeah, he's a great coach, it's going to be amazing here. I think sometimes great coaches go to programs and it does not work. So we shall see. We'll see if he's a fit for USC or just another flashy name. That remains to be seen for sure. Still to come, we're going to talk about your head coach at the Sun Devils and what's going on there. I think a lot to talk about, considering some implications that may be coming down on ASU with some sanctions and things. So for those of you that, you know, are into betting, BetOnline has you covered all season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. So head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. Now, this holiday season, you need to grab your protein bars that taste like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar. Built Bar is filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, but it's high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. Don't compare Built Bar to your regular holiday desserts, because it's nothing like it. There's so many flavors, you'll have a hard time choosing. Will you have raspberry or mint brownie, cherry or double chocolate, cookies and cream or peanut butter brownie? Built Bar gives you that extra fuel you need to bust down those mall doors and battle all the holiday shoppers. Or if you're just standing in endless shopping lines, Built Bar can give you that extra something to keep you growing. So throw one in your jacket or purse. You never know when you're going to need it. Like some of these marshmallowy treats around the holidays, you need to get your hands on Built Bar Puffs. They're light, fluffy, and marshmallowy through and through. Different flavors, all covered in chocolate. tastes so good, you won't believe that they're filled with protein. Go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Okay, Connor. So I think all season long, we've been kind of speculating about Herm Edwards and whether or not this will be his last season at ASU, if he'll choose to walk away, if he'd be fired due to the situation with the recruiting violations. And I think we got our answer. He was offered the opportunity to stay on as the head coach, and it seems like that's what's going to happen. For me, I still feel like there's the unanswered questions about the violations, right? NCAA still hasn't announced what's going to happen with that. We did know the two coaches, three assistant coaches were asked to leave. From what we knew at the time, that it was a suspension, but it was paid leave for them. I don't know about if there's been any updates on that. Can you let us know?
Still nothing as far as an update. We have no idea when the penalty is coming down in ASU. We just know it's going to happen. But nobody knows the severity either. Like, it's also a COVID violation too. So, like, this is a kind of new area, I guess, for the NCAA. Like, how are they going to handle that? You would think it's got to be pretty serious. I hope they just take our playoff chances away and us getting into the top four. Like, please just – I hope that's our penalty.
I think you're gonna I think you're gonna lose some scholarships and pop, because if you think about it, it's a recruiting violation. It only all like clearly makes sense to take away some scholarship opportunities, because that's where you're trying like kind of taking advantage of the situation there. Yeah. As far as bowl eligibility, I don't think they should go that deep, because I agree with you. We don't have to go into, playoffs, I know you don't care about, because what's the likelihood of
it's ASU,
right? But the bowl eligibility, I don't think should be tampered with either, because I think that affects the student athletes that had nothing to do with that situation, which we've seen time and time again. They don't care. They do that anyways. But I do think the way to hit here would be the scholarships, because you were trying to recruit when you weren't supposed to. And that would make the most sense, in my opinion. I also am not the NCAA. I do not fully understand, what makes them decide to do one thing or another. So, yeah.
They actually ask for my opinion pretty frequently, just not on the ASU thing for whatever reason. So I think you said that perfectly. Scholarships, for sure. I think the bowl games, it's at least a possibility. So we'll see if they get a bowl game or two taken away from them. But for any other recruits that are coming here, not knowing what the suspensions or penalties, whatever that's going to look like, that's definitely got to be a deterrent, right?
Yeah.
It has to be. And for Herm Edwards coming back, I don't know if it's really an indictment of what they think of him as a coach. We talked about this a couple times in the pod, and I feel like this can play out a couple ways. If you keep Herm Edwards on until you get that penalty, now the next head coach knows what they have to deal with. But if you're getting rid of ASU or their head coach this year in Herm Edwards, and you have to ask somebody to come take that job, what great up-and-coming head coach wants to take that position where they could automatically be handcuffed and they lose their scholarship opportunities right off the bat? Now having to play against Lincoln Riley at USC, like they're going to probably have a rough going out of the gate. It's going to make them look bad as a potential head coach if they wanted to get a job somewhere else. So it's not a perfect situation at all. And it's one they've put themselves in. Like, I don't say that as a fan saying like, well, they're being unfair to us. Like, no, ASU did this to themselves and they're probably going to deserve exactly what they're going to get. The question just is what's going to happen to them. So I will say on any podcast you want me to, whether it's Locked On Pac-12, Locked On Sun Devils, elsewhere, I do love Herm Edwards. I'm not dying to see him go. If they had decided to move on, I think I would have gotten it, because at the moment, in my own opinion, and granted, my opinion changed on him when they hired him, I wasn't that impressed. I'd seen him on ESPN. I knew who he was. And I was kind of like, in college football, really? Like, he did a bunch of stuff in the NFL. Like, are we sure about this? Right. So my tone has changed on him. I really do like Herm. But at the same time, I feel like if we keep him here, we're kind of striving for some more mediocrity, winning more 6, 7, 8 win seasons, which isn't horrible, but it's not like What's your goal? Where's the bar being set? Because I feel like we know who Herm Edwards is as a coach, but right. as I had just talked about a couple minutes ago, getting rid of him, if you can't get a for sure better head coach in the building right now, it may not benefit you to get rid of him. So I think ASU's kind of caught between a rock and a hard place, and there wasn't a perfect solution to it.
I think that makes a lot of sense, though, because like you said, if we get rid of him, now we have to figure out how to attract someone new. And it could be career suicide for someone coming into that Definitely. Position. So it was probably a better situation for them to just retain him and deal with the consequences that's coming. Now, here's the thing. Once those sanctions happen, what if Herm is like, yeah, you know what? I think we're going to call it a quits and go ahead and retire now and leave you guys all to deal with this mess. I'm not saying he's going to do that, but like if he does, what then?
As far as an interim guy, I think Zach Hill would probably be the next man up, who's their offensive coordinator. He's actually getting apparently some head coaching love elsewhere, which is interesting to me because watching the ASU offense this year, it's like, is it Jaden Daniels' fault? Is it Zach Hill's right. fault? I'm not really sure. But at the same time, like if Herm Edwards leaves, like it was other coaches' fault as well. Like we had three other suspensions for some of these other coaches that violated the rules. Like right. if he goes, like, they would be a boat without a paddle. Like,
yeah,
they are not going to do better than what they had done this season. I think they're hopefully slowly going to go towards the bottom of the Pac-12 and not just like fall off a cliff. But with all the talent they have leaving this season, with questions surrounding their quarterback, whether it's good or bad, if Rattler's coming here or not, penalties coming down, the immediate future for ASU looks very, very bleak. And as a fan, I get to sit here and watch it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Connor, thank you, as always, for joining us on Locked On Pac-12 podcast. We always love having you on here and getting your insight about the Sun Devils. Next time you're on, we'll either be talking about an upcoming, I think we'll be talking about an upcoming bowl game by then, and then some more basketball stuff because we'll be diving deep into the season there.
Washington State this week. Actually, I know.
And you already know how I stand. We've actually been playing pretty well, so watch out. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Oh, I don't feel good about it. I'm just saying we have to play you guys tonight. It's probably going to be a win.
Well, that's what I like to hear. That's all I'm saying. For those of you that want to follow along and keep in touch with everything going on with the Sun Devils, make sure you follow the Locked On Sun Devils podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow along on Twitter at @LO_Sun Devils. You can follow Locked On Pac-12 podcast on Twitter at @LO_Pac-12. And then Connor personally at @CDreos. That's at @CDreos. And me at _Cindy Robinson. Other than that, make sure you make one of the other conference shows your second listen of the day. There's a Locked On SEC, Locked On ACC, and Locked On Big 12. And then, as always, stay locked on Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.